trying to figure out how to sneak out and sample the crew at a bakery during the Bible study, but I haven't quite figured that out yet. What's that?
I saw them out there.
Did you try it?
Sally did.
Sally did.
She's the taste tester.
Sally says, shh, oh. I'm not supposed to tell that.
But I did see something else out there that I'll tell you about in a couple of minutes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right. Okay. I can't wait. You're listening to the Bible study right here in the middle of Rally Day. I'm Chuck Rathert. We are going to, as usual, this is what we do on Rally Day, give you the regular programming you're used to. It's almost unchanged as it pertains to our long-form programs. We're going to be in Luke chapter 21 today, and the other voice you hear is a familiar voice from down in Perry County. Perry County, right?
Perry County. The manger of the Missouri Synod.
Who is Perry?
You know, that's a good question.
Joni, do you know who Perry is?
I don't.
He must have been pretty. He's the only one. Perry County and Perryville and Emmanuel Lutheran Church down there. Pastor Tom Hendrick and his wife Sally make the trip up here once a month, and we're deeply appreciative of your willingness to do that just so we can have a face-to-face conversation.
And I appreciate the opportunity. We were just mentioning before we came on air that it was a year ago that I was here again on Rally Day, and my goodness, what a thrill and excitement it is to come here on a day and be able to rally the troops out there and hopefully get them to support KFUO and worldwide radio 850, AM 850, where the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed in its truth and purity, and the love of God continues to be communicated in a very bold and accurate way for the salvation of mankind.
Couldn't have said it better. Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you'd like to respond to a Pastor Hendrick's call to support KFUO Radio, or if you want to call with a question or a comment, we can send you in either direction, whichever way you want to go. Yes, we are taking phone calls for our live programs today at those numbers, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I wonder if I might be able to prevail upon you, Pastor Hendrick, in the opening prayer here on our Bible study, not just to pray for the success of our study and the invitation of the Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts and minds, but to bless this Rally Day opportunity.
Absolutely. We'll do that. May I precede that, though, with just a brief observation?
Absolutely.
I mentioned about the goodies table out there in the hallway, and you talked about all the good things on it and all.
Yeah.
But on the opposite side of the hallway is this interesting display on the wall, and it must be some sort of a historic archive, because I think there's a picture of your younger brother on that display.
Yes.
At least there's this picture of a man who looks a lot like you, but probably 10, 20, 30 years. Wait a minute. I shouldn't have put numbers to that. But certainly a lot younger.
For a guy with a graying beard, you're
oh,
right.
Oh, no, wait a minute. No, this is not graying. This is silver.
And it's reflecting the halo
that's hovering above my head.
Well, you have a lot more hair on your head than I do, so I'm jealous, absolutely.
Yes, you didn't lose
your appetite by looking at that picture, did you?
Not at all. It enhanced it. I thought, wow, if that's what I have to look forward to in youthfulness,
at least I got that going for
I've got to eat some more of this stuff out here. Yeah.
All right, let's pray.
Okay. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we do indeed ask your blessings upon our study this day. Cause what we read, what we talk about and discuss to all bring glory and honor to you, and to serve to enlighten people in their spiritual lives with the truth of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. And please, Lord, cast your blessings upon this rally day and all such efforts to raise support for this wonderful, wonderful opportunity to spread the message of Jesus Christ, not only locally, but globally as well, on AM 850 KFUO Radio, as it serves to be your mouthpiece to share your love with mankind. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You know, Chuck, and as we pray for the radio station itself, I want people to understand that in the context of that prayer are all the people. Chuck, we pray for you. We pray for each and every person that God is using in the context of this radio station as they continue to faithfully serve Him by working together to make this message get out to the world. Please know, Chuck, how much we appreciate you personally, all the people here who are working in a very devoted and dedicated way to see to it that the message of Jesus Christ is not just kept inside this building, but it's out there for people to hear.
Well, thank you, and amen to that. Appreciate that. Now let's talk about the destruction of the temple. Whoops, that's kind of a...
Whoa, now wait a minute. How do we get from something positive to something negative?
I don't
negative?
Know, but it's pretty negative, and there's just no two ways about it, and I guess that's what we're going to have to deal with here today.
So you mean today we're going to talk about something called eschatology?
I can't say that, but if that means what I think it means...
Well, if you put a G on the beginning of it, you're going to have something that a lot of people really think. Guess-catology,
yeah.
Because there's a lot of guessing going on about this stuff. But Jesus answered it for us. He gave us the answer. The problem
glad
is...
Glad you can see it.
Say it again.
I'm glad you can see it.
Oh, hey, it's very clear. The problem is many people confuse what Jesus taught with trying to tell us when it's going to occur, not simply what is going to occur.
But you see what makes these verses, we're going to pick it up at verse 5, Luke 21, take it through verse 24. What makes these verses somewhat difficult is that Jesus responds to a question here, and that response seems to have two tracks. It seems to have an immediate track as it pertains to the city of Jerusalem, but it also seems to have a distant track.
Chuck, you just hit the nail on the head.
But how do you separate which
are two? You are such a great theologian. You don't. They go together. They complement
each
other.
Let's read it here before we get too far down the road here. Beginning in verse 5. Now, you recall that Jesus has entered Jerusalem. It is Holy Week, what we now call Holy Week. He is just days away from a grisly death coming up on Good Friday. But he has been spending time refuting the arguments of his opponents and answering fairly innocent questions like the one we have before us today. Verse 5 says, and while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, he said, as for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And they asked him, Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place? And he said, see that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place. But the end will not be at once.
Chuck, I'm going to jump right in here, and please, again, I beg your forgiveness for probably preempting what you want to go.
No.
But it just strikes
just along
me...
Just for the ride.
Oh, well, that's what we just did for an hour and a half coming up here. But it strikes me how Jesus would receive questions that people had in their mind a certain direction they wanted to go with it, but Jesus then took it a totally different direction.
Isn't that irritating?
It's both irritating and exciting. It's exciting because, you know, what Jesus was saying was, okay, now let me get you on the straight and narrow. You know, you're focusing on things of the here and now. Let me help you recognize what's really important are the things about the then and there. And it's all reflective of Old Testament as well. That's the 4,000 year of Old Testament history was all about God revealing to the Israelites by signs of the then and of the then and there time what was going to happen in the future, pointing to Jesus Christ, his earthly presence, and pointing even farther beyond to the return of Jesus Christ for the eternal glory that's to come.
Now we know from history that in the year A.D. 70, the Roman army surrounded Jerusalem. There had been an uprising, a Jewish uprising, and the Roman army surrounded Jerusalem, and they sacked the city and turned it into ruins.
Correct.
Just as Jesus predicts here, not one stone will be left on another.
Now, before we go any farther, let's understand, boy, now that's got a big significance to it also. These stones that we're talking about were not just little building blocks that we're accustomed to. Some of them were as large as, are you ready for this? 20 feet long, 7 feet high. These are big.
It's like a semi-trailer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're almost small boulders. Now, it defies my understanding how they had the technology and engineering then to move these things into place. But also understand that these things were oftentimes shaped and formed away from the site to such exacting dimensions that when they got on site, they fit right in. So we're talking about big things here that would not be left standing one on top of another.
So taking the city down was no small achievement.
Bingo.
If you could look at it that way.
Absolutely.
It would have required thousands of men and no few hours to destroy Jerusalem.
Now, the Romans were into destroying things. They were into how can we exert our strength and our power over another city or fort. And it was interesting how they built siege works. You're going to have to help me explain that, Chuck. They would
Just watch Lord of the Rings. You'll get an idea.
Okay, that'll work. That'll work. They built this earthen pile up against the walls that they used then to scale the walls and to put pressure against the walls that eventually crumbled the walls. It wasn't done overnight.
So, you know, the Romans probably, this probably wasn't the only city the Romans ever sacked.
Correct.
Or destroyed. But this is unique because this city contains the Holy Temple of God.
Yes, and represented the presence of the Jewish God, which was the true God who revealed himself to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and on down the lines as the God who created the world. And the Romans didn't want to hear anything about that.
Now, when you and Sally drive onto the campus of Concordia Seminary here to come to our radio studio, do you ever make your way down here to the radio station without at least casting a glance in the direction of the Chapel of St. Timothy?
It's impossible to not.
It's impossible to not see that building.
That's right.
Lovely
That's
building, do you think?
Beautiful building.
Impressive?
Wonderful architecture, engineering, building. The stonework is wonderful. It's grand.
So I wonder if Jesus were here, if he would take a dim view of your extolling the virtues of the lovely chapel here on the campus of Concordia Seminary.
Now, you're so good, Chuck. You have now led into another beautiful point. Remember that this temple was built by Herod for the Jews. He was doing them a favor, if you will, probably bringing about some relationship building by doing this thing.
Which he needed, because he was a pretty brutal guy.
Absolutely, and he wasn't well-liked by the Jews, to say it mildly, okay? But at the same time, he was also building something that would bring notoriety to himself. In a sense, this temple that he built for the Jews became a monument to himself. And how does God look on monuments we build to ourselves?
Not very happy with that.
Well, go back to the Old Testament, the Tower of Babel. You know, the issue there was that the people were building a monument unto themselves. God said, nope, that ain't going to work. You're not going to worship yourselves. I'll take care of that. And he did. Well, as we drive on campus, now we're going to bring this back to what you asked. As we drive on campus and we see that beautiful chapel, my goodness, it's more like a cathedral. Same thing on Fort Wayne's campus, too. Beautiful chapel, which is a cathedral, a house of worship. The difference is this was not built to honor President Meyer or Concordia Seminary or something of this earth. It was built to honor and glorify Jesus Christ. That's what we've got to keep in mind.
So the temple, no doubt, was a spectacular first century structure.
Absolutely.
Probably a marvel from an engineering perspective, and artistically speaking, architecturally, probably a fairly impressive thing. So when Jesus says to the person who is, it sounds to me naively, just trying to offer a positive comment, that it's going to be torn down to its foundations, I can see where that would be alarming or stunning to people who are listening, and cause them to ask more questions.
Or even offending, offensive as well. What do you mean it's going to be torn down? This is a great thing we have.
Now, they asked two pretty simple, clear questions, and I think if I had been there, even I might have asked these two simple questions. When will these things be?
Why would they need to know that? Why would they ask that? Why would you ask that question?
Do you care when Iran gets enough nuclear material to have a bomb?
Absolutely.
Do you look in terms of now we have time to address that?
There you go. There you go. And what is Jesus saying then? Well, I'm getting ahead of you. Go ahead. Lead us on. Please.
Second
lead
question.
Us on.
What will be the sign when these things take place? Now, I think that I might have asked those questions.
Sure.
And when I see that they are asked, I lean forward. I'm looking forward to hearing the answer to these questions.
Because...
But he doesn't answer them.
Well, and you're right, he doesn't, but he does. Yes, he does. He doesn't tell us when it's going to occur because he knows our sinful humanity. And our sinful humanity would probably say, oh, well, then I've got time. I don't need to be concerned about this yet, because after all, the end isn't coming. I can go ahead and live my life according to my sinful flesh in my merry way, and then I'll wait till we get to when he said it's going to happen. Then I'll repent. By the way, it's all about repentance.
So we know historically that some 35 years or so after this conversation takes place, depending on how you calculate it, but certainly in that range of years, the temple was destroyed, exactly the way Jesus predicted it here.
Isn't that something?
But then he says at the end of this section in verse 9, the end will not be at once. Now, that's something else. Now he's talking about, what was that word you used?
The eschatology.
E word? Eschatology. Now he's talking about the end of all things, not just the end of Jerusalem. Why? And this happens in other places. I mean, the parallel passages in Matthew just give me a headache. Why weave the end of Jerusalem in with the end of the world so that you almost can't distinguish which one he's talking about when?
For two reasons. Number one, it got their attention. You see, the then and the here and now is simply an attention getter. Now that Jesus has their attention, number two, he can speak to them relative to something they can relate to. We relate to temporal things, here and now things. Jesus says, now that I've got your attention and you see the here and now, let me tell you what the significance of that is for the then and there, the eternal.
Now even all the...
Oh, by the way, it's a great educational tool. I just did it with my seventh graders. I was telling Sally on the way up here how 2 days ago on Tuesday, I had a teaching moment in my seventh grade catechism class at our parochial school. We were talking about repentance, which is a concept of an about-face, a reversal of attitude and action. Now, I was in the Army, so I was able to tell the kids from real-life experience, here's what my drill instructor did with me in order to train me to save me from being hurt or killed. He trained us to act on faith, trusting him when he gave a command, with obedience, and later on ask why. Of course, we didn't have to ask why later on. When the bullet went over our head when he told us to drop down, we knew, he really does love us. He really is concerned for our welfare. Well, now we relate.
You're the first guy I've heard describe his drill instructor as loving him. But I'm following you.
Well, you know, a lot of people see God as an unloving God with all these commandments and demands and everything, but they don't grasp how loving he is in giving us these commands and demands that are designed for our welfare, for our well-being.
So, if you go to a wedding, and just attended a wedding here recently, a wedding has a way, even all these hundreds of years after Jesus shows up on the scene, of kind of picturing for us Christ and his bride.
Bingo.
And the bride being usually in white, a spotless white with a veil covering. That's all Christian imagery. Is the destruction of Jerusalem a type or a picture of the larger destruction?
Yes. It's a picture of the destruction of this world that God made perfectly, but thank you, Mother Eve and Father Adam, for messing it up, and we have carried on the mess up of it called sin. Sin is rebellion against God. Sin is disobedience of God. God says, do this, and I do the opposite, or I don't do it. Don't do that, and I go and do it, or whatever. because of sin, the world has become corrupt. Not just corrupt morally, but corrupt physically.
So now, in this stunning, alarming moment, when I think the words of Jesus here have probably captured the attention of his hearers to the maximum, here's what he has to communicate in this moment. Don't be led astray. Don't be fooled. Don't be carried off by some nonsense. That's what he says. How are we doing on that, Pastor?
Terribly.
Terribly.
Terribly. In fact,
is that an F?
Well, I'm not going to give it an F, because we do have some redemption that we're going to talk about also.
Okay.
But even at his time, they were led astray. What were they looking for? Not for the Messiah that came, who was a self-denying, self-sacrificial savior of the world, but they were looking for some strong military leader to lead them, the Jews, in their revolt against the Romans. They were looking for temporal might.
Well, that was 2,000 years ago. Surely we've improved on this in 2,000 years.
Sadly not.
Sadly
no,
not.
No, we're still looking for power, might, and majesty. We call it theology of glory. We want, in the here and now, what God has said is waiting us in the then and there. What is the here and now is the theology of the cross, where we are following after Christ, who said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many.
If you stop and think about your own personal experience as a pastor dealing with folks, does a person come to mind that you know was sort of on the narrow path, but got distracted and went off after somebody who said, he's over here or he's over there?
You know, we have this happening constantly as we have people leave our Lutheran setting for what appears to them to be more exciting settings or more palatable, tasteful settings. Settings that I don't want to say they don't speak Jesus Christ, but what Jesus are they speaking? A Jesus of prosperity. If you just believe in Jesus, you'll get all your bills paid. Or a Jesus of personal fame and popularity. You know, just follow after Jesus and everybody will think good of you and they'll admire you and glorify you and all that. Sadly, the way of the world is capturing the minds and attention of even our people in solid Lutheran settings that are proclaiming the truth of the gospel, and yet people are turning away today as well. Now, there's another point to this, and it comes up a little later in the text, so maybe I should wait until after the break.
Well,
that
go
I
ahead.
See.
You can get started.
Okay. We have Jesus is going to talk to us about the challenges that face us in the world today. Challenges by people that are constantly speaking against the truth of the gospel. What is really bad about this is when we have that very thing happening within the context of the Christian church and within our own congregations as well.
We're talking about Luke chapter 21 today here on our Bible study program with Pastor Tom Hendrick, pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Perryville, Missouri. We're going to make our way all the way through verse 24.
Yeah, good luck on that.
Oh, yeah, we're going to make it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm with you.
I'm going to apply some drill sergeant discipline to you, sir. Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you'd like to call in and share a comment or a question here on our Bible study program.
Or if you...
Yes?
If you'd like to call in and donate to us and help us.
Move you right over to the rally desk.
Listen, we've got people over there to take care of you. So call in and support AM 850 KFUO Radio.
Good job, Pastor. Thank you. Paul Clayton here from The Morning Show, along with my good buddy Gary Duncan, Operations Manager of AM 850 KFUO. It is rally day, and that means...
That means we're looking for your support to become a day sponsor on this day.
And a day sponsor agrees to a monthly gift of $40 for 12 months. In return, we give you your day with six announcements throughout the day commemorating whatever you desire. We'll professionally produce the announcements and run them on your day sponsor day. It's $40 a month for 12 months, a total of $480. A nice commitment to the broadcast ministry of AM 850 KFUO.
We're looking for your phone calls at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727, and you may claim one of the special packages. We have the following packages.
Yes, indeed. And you're a traveling man, Gary. What have you got?
Well, let's see. The free travel package. I like the word free. It's featuring a gift certificate from Drury Hotels for a one-night weekend stay at a Drury brand hotel. And there's several different hotels that are part of that Drury brand.
Oh, yeah. There's one in Hampton and I-44. So you could spend the weekend visiting the zoo and all the things at Forest Park.
Yeah.
That's package number 13 Gary's talking
That's
about.
Right.
Package 13, the free travel package. I've got a major effort here by Dr. Andrew Steinman, who's been a guest on AM 850 KFUO on the Bible study. It's the study, the Book of Daniel package. It's called the Study the Book of Daniel package, featuring a copy of the outstanding Concordia commentary on the Book of Daniel by regular Bible study guest Dr. Andrew Steinman. And what's significant about this is, you know, while the narratives about Daniel and his fellow Judeans appear simple, the visions at the end of the book seem extraordinarily complicated, and that can be a challenge for any commentator, so that you understand the book as a whole and to explain its rich view of the gospel and the Savior, and that's what this book does. It's from Concordia Publishing House, and it's the commentary on the Book of Daniel by Dr. Andrew Steinman, package number 14, when you become a day sponsor.
Also, for a gift of $100, you could call and request the brand new 85th anniversary John Pills commemorative Christmas ornament, and again, it's celebrating our 85 years of the gospel ministry here at KFUO Radio.
And if you collect John Pills ornaments, and we do in our household, you'll want to have this one on your Christmas tree this year, commemorating 85 years, the 85th anniversary of KFUO Radio, and that's for a gift of $100. You can give us a call right now at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. And there's some rally day packages going out to some folks that have called already this morning. Reverend Charles Mueller in Bloomingdale, Illinois, called in to remember his wife on her birthday. Yes, thank you, Gary. In fact, he writes, this is in honor of the birthday of my wife, Karen. Words that describe her from Proverbs 31, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. We thank you, Pastor Charles Mueller, for becoming an AM 850 KFUO day sponsor.
Also, Dorothy Manschult becomes a day sponsor, and she says any day is fine with her and is in thanksgiving for her family. She has children, grandchildren, and 9 great-grandkids. Sounds like an awesome family, doesn't it?
Yeah, big family.
So thank you to Dorothy. Then.
So let's review. We're talking about 2 packages this break. Package number 13 featuring...
13 features the free travel package, gift certificate to Drury Hotel for a one-night weekend stay.
And package number 14, I've got the Book of Daniel here, the commentary, the Concordia commentary on Daniel by Dr. Andrew Steinman. Call and ask for package 14 if that's what you would like as a gift in return for becoming an AM 850 KFUO day sponsor. And remember, when you become a day sponsor, you agree to a monthly gift of $40 for 12 months.
And we want to thank Christ Memorial Lutheran Church in South County, Pastor Greg Smith. He's a supporter of Rally Day 2009. So thanks to Christ Memorial.
As promised, we'll get you back to the Bible study on AM 850 KFUO. In the meantime, give us a call. Our volunteers are standing by. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Call now.
You're listening to the Bible study. I'm Chuck Rathert. Pastor Tom Hendrick is here today. Numbers to call the program, same as the numbers to call Rally Day, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I'm going to read on here, Pastor.
Well,
is that okay?
Well, not right away, because my wife just gave a suggestion of something that maybe we could put
well,
on
Well, we
the...
wouldn't want to ignore
not
that.
Not at all. Not at all.
Not when you got a 90-minute ride
you,
home.
No, you got that right, and lunch before, you
oh,
know.
Oh,
so,
boy.
Yeah. But she suggested perhaps we could put something on the table to help get some interest here. And that would be, let's see, Emmanuel Perryville, 1 free pew and 1 parking place for a year.
Wow. Your own pew.
So that your own pew and your own parking place for a year. And you would be treated to sermons by the Reverend Matthew Marks and the Reverend Thomas Hendrick.
I noticed you put yourself second there, Pastor.
Absolutely.
You really want to move this package, don't you?
I do. I do.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. All right. Thank you, Sally. That's some good thinking there. Verse 10, Luke 21. Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives." You know, I think I'm going to be a Zoroastrian or something. If you're selling something here, this is not a very good sales technique, it seems to me, Pastor.
You know, it isn't, but it's a very we've got to approach it in a very basic, fundamental, simple way, and that is the distinction between law and gospel. My goodness, on the afternoon show, and right now his name is escaping me.
Roland?
No, the law gospel.
Tom Baker.
Yeah, Tom Baker, Pastor Baker. Every day is schooling us in the distinction between law and gospel. And here is an excellent, excellent place to apply his instruction to us. Because what we're seeing here, first of all, is law. Here's all these things that are going to happen, are even happening. They were happening then. They've been happening in intervening years.
They're not just
years.
Things, Pastor.
No, they are realities.
They're death.
They're tragedies. They're catastrophes.
Catastrophes.
Death.
With a capital C.
Yes. And
who wants to sign up for that?
Not I. Not I. But, you see, that's part of the irony of all this. None of us wants to sign up for it, but how God works is not by asking us, do you want to, but rather, I am recruiting you. I am calling you. I am bringing you. You know, I didn't want to sign up for the military, but I got this interesting little letter in the mail. And it always started off,
"Welcome,
greetings.
Tom. I am your drill sergeant.
Yeah,
I love you."
That's right. Well, we are recruited. We are invited into God's fold. And then God does something very strange. He equips us. That's what it says right here. Jesus said, "Don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. I will equip you. I will give you the words to speak." And those words are words that point us back to the forgiveness, salvation, eternal life that God has prepared for us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And he ends up by saying, "You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish." Thank God we still have hair on our head not to perish. Now, is that a temporal thing or an eternal thing? Obviously, it's eternal. It means that we have security for the eternal reality through Jesus Christ.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Scotty, you're on the Bible study.
Yeah, you were talking about the children of Israel having the temple destroyed and things like that. It always seems like they had material things, and then too many material things, they left God. And do you think this could be happening in this country now? We're getting so many problems with, and two people money-minded. But I want to make a statement to the Pastor Henry that he knows that I live now in this beautiful land of Altenburg, Missouri, the original place that the Lutherans came from the old country to have freedom of religion in the first seminary or the first college. And it's a beautiful country down here, and everybody ought to come see it. And don't forget to donate to KFUO.
Oh, thank you so much, Scotty. Appreciate
you know, Scotty and his lovely wife, Laverne, have been longtime members of our congregation. But sadly, good for them, and I pray God's blessings on them. They have relocated, as he just said, to Altenburg from Perryville. where I think Laverne's son is mayor there.
Oh,
I don't
really?
Know if there's any distinction in that or not, but certainly we pray God's blessings on them. This Monday night at our elders' meeting, we will transact their transfer to Trinity Lutheran Church in Altenburg, and again, with God's blessings.
But they can't get their own parking place over there.
That's right, or their own pew. Yeah.
All right, so I am here trying to sort out if any of this has to do with the upcoming destruction of the temporal temple in 70 A.D., what he's talking about. They will lay hands on you. I can associate all that with the Romans besieging Jerusalem and sacking the city. But I can also associate that with perhaps the way it'll be right before Jesus returns. Or for millions of Christians around the world, we can probably find examples of this in every century since the beginning.
Sure, absolutely. And Scotty brought our attention to where it needs to be. And that is, too often we are so focused. And by the way, true confession, I fall into this as well. My sinful flesh falls into this trap of Satan of focusing too much or any at all on earthly, mundane things. What Jesus is ultimately telling them and us is to get your focus off of those things that are going to be destroyed. Get your focus off of the created things and put your focus on the Creator. The Creator is eternal. The things He created are temporary. They will come to an end. What we're going through in our national crisis, economic crisis right now, I believe is a gift from God. It's a gift.
You would be the only one, Pastor.
Well, probably not. I think there would be others.
Okay.
Because it is God's way of helping us hopefully become more cognizant, more recognizing of the fact that this earthly stuff is not the substance. What is the substance is heavenly stuff that God gives us in and through His Word, His written Word, the Bible, His living Word, Jesus Christ.
Two more questions I've got to ask you on this section, then we've got to pick up the reading here.
Why, so we can get it finished, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, drill sergeant.
Before that, salute when you say that, please. In our previous conversations, Jesus was challenged with a pretty tough question. Should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? There was potential for him to really be trapped by that question, but boy, he skillfully responded to it and silenced his questioners. Then came the Sadducees, with their seven brothers and the one wife, and trying to put Jesus in the corner, and he handled that. Now,
by the way,
I know you're not going to know the answer to this explicitly, but I'm asking for what you believe to be true, because it's marvelous the way Jesus responds to these opponents. Now he promises us that when somebody tries to paint us into a corner, that he will be there with us to give us. As a matter of fact, he says, I don't even want you to waste any time thinking this through.
Ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. I will give you those words. So does that text today suggest that it was the true man, Jesus, using this same mechanism when he responded to the Sadducees and the chief priests? See, I told you.
This is what's called dead time on the radio, silence. Well, not good. Not one, good to have that, by the way.
One of two things seems to be happening when Jesus responds, for example, to the Sadducees. Either he is responding from his divine nature, mm-hmm. he's smarter than everybody because he's God.
Mm-hmm.
Or perhaps he's responding as true man, using the same mechanism that is promised to us here in Luke chapter 21.
Okay, strap on your seatbelt, Chuck,
all right,
so you don't fall off, because you've gotten upset with me in the past for this answer I'm about to give. Now I'm setting you up, and you know what the answer is going to be. What is it, Chuck?
It's both and.
He relates to the people of his day from his perspective, from his reality of being true man. But he then takes them to where they need to be, or at least points them in the direction of the true God, the divine, the eternal significance. It's a both-and thing. And he continues to do it today. Today he tells us, same as he told them then, be prepared for what's coming. It's not pleasant, I'm going to tell you that. And look at me and you'll see that it's not pleasant, for he was crucified on Calvary's cross for us. But know that I am with you. Not will be. He spoke this statement at his ascension in the present tense. I am with you always, even to the close of the age. The question is, how? That's our human mind. Our Missouri mind. Show me, you know. How is Jesus with us? He is with us in spirit and in truth. Through word. Be in the word daily. Be in the word regularly. Read, mark, study, learn, take to heart what's there. And the sacrament of the Blessed Holy Communion, where Jesus gives us his very real body and blood in with and under those sacramental elements of bread and wine in order to give a certain assurance of the of his presence now, and comfort knowing that he's with us now, but we will be with him in the eternal future.
Pastor Hendrick, are you saved by grace, by the unmerited favor of God?
Hey, you know what my sermon is this weekend?
That's a yes or no question.
Yes. Yes. I get to preach the Festival of the Reformation.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, let me tell you.
You're probably going to start getting worked up about that.
Well, it's been happening already.
Now, you're saved by grace, you say. Are you saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ?
Yes, and there are prepositions there, and that's what my sermon is. Uh-oh, now I'm giving it away.
No, don't give your sermon.
Oh, I'm going to do it anyway.
So you're saved by grace through faith on account of Christ. Is that correct?
By grace through faith in Jesus.
And your good works that contribute?
By grace through faith.
What about your good
in
works?
In Jesus.
What about your good works? That's
by
saving?
Grace through faith in Jesus.
I think we're at loggerheads here. How about your good works, Pastor?
You
does
know
that
what my,
save you?
You know what my good works do? They
that's
don't
yes
save
or,
me. No, they don't save
that's
me.
A no. Let me ask you this.
No, let me tell you, first of all.
This is like arm wrestling.
I love it. Thank you, Chuck, for the freedom here.
Tom Hendrick.
The good works don't save me, but the good works testify.
That's not what I'm asking you.
They testify.
I want to know if your good works save.
No.
No.
I'm saved
then what
by
am I
grace
supposed to
through
do with
faith
this?
In Jesus Christ.
What am I supposed to do with this? By your endurance, you will gain your lives.
You put it in context.
Verse 19.
I see it, but let's not let it stand by itself. Let's let it stand in the context of the
right,
immediate passages and of the whole of Scripture.
You be the drill sergeant.
I don't know how to do that.
Oh, okay.
That endurance is the gift of God. We've got to understand that. The Holy Spirit gives us our faith. He gives us our endurance. And when God gives us a gift, he then tells us how that gift is going to benefit us, because it's his working in us. He is the one who gives us the perseverance, the endurance, the faith to withstand the trials, the tribulations, all these things that then lead to our eternal glory with him in heaven. But it's his gift. It's
so
his
when
gift.
So when I purpose to endure, better have my eyes on the Savior. Is that what you're saying?
Or else your endurance is not a godly thing.
It's going to fail.
Absolutely.
Verse 20, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart. And let not those who are out in the country enter it, for these are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas, for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress upon the earth, and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Pastor Hendrick, can you imagine yourself on this fine Tuesday morning or whatever it was in Holy Week as the people are entering and moving about in the temple, and the city of Jerusalem is swollen with pilgrims because the Passover's... It's really kind of a festive time. The Passover's coming. Relatives, perhaps, are in the city that you haven't seen for a long time. And you look at each other and you say, what?
What's this lunatic talking about?
This city, this beautiful city, this beautiful building?
Yeah.
What is he talking about? We love this city.
And after all, this city is God's city. You
absolutely.
Know, it's
how
David's
could the
city.
Gentiles trample this
what,
God's city?
What is
city?
This kind of lunacy going on? Well, you know, it's lunacy that we better listen to both in our time as well as they did, well, some of them did then. The lunacy is all about transferring our vision and focus from the here and now to the then and there, which comes to us in the here and now through Jesus Christ. We've got to understand who Jesus is, the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, who is the Savior of mankind, who came not to be served, but to serve, as I said earlier in the broadcast, and to give himself as a ransom for many. All sins are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He gives us his righteous white robes. He clothes us with them. You were talking about the analogy, the parallel with a marriage, and how important it is to notice the bride who is adorned in white, and that symbolizes the church. Believers in Jesus Christ, whom he adorns with his righteous white robes.
I can imagine that there were people standing within earshot of Jesus as he spoke these words, who perhaps looked left or looked right at their friends and companions, thinking, what is he talking about? Jerusalem is one of the great cities of this area, if not the world. This is God's city. Similarly today, 2,000 years later, there are people who say, this world's not going to end. There isn't going to be, a second coming. There isn't going to be an end of the world. There isn't going to be turmoil and destruction, and that's not going to happen.
Well,
that's just a bunch of
religious bringing it closer to home, and I don't mean in any way now to be a doomsday prophet, but we Americans have become so inflated with our earthly, mundane egos that we have the strength, the might, the power, the economics, and all of that to rule the world. And far be it from us to ever think that our grand nation could become a victim to outside forces.
Do you remember after 9/11 and the Twin Towers came down and we were all shaken to the core wherever we
briefly
lived in the United States? People returned to church.
Briefly.
People thought about their mortality.
And briefly.
Briefly. And then it went away.
We have such short memories.
Why did it go away?
You know, and I'll answer that in just a minute, but let me first of all say, the history records now show that the return to church or to spirituality of any kind, quite frankly, not just Christianity, was the most short-lived return after the Twin Towers of any incidents in history. That was the shortest-lived return.
Like 2 weeks.
Maybe four. It may have gone four. And then people started going their merry way again because it was a surface thing, not an inbred thing. It was something that the law hit us over the head, but our hearts were not captured
but
by
now,
the gospel.
Here's how I would paraphrase what Jesus is saying. This is the Chuck paraphrase.
For not the John Lukomsky paraphrase.
No.
Okay.
For people who are listening to us right now and who are thinking about what they've heard here from the text today, the paraphrase would be, that Twin Towers thing, that is nothing. There is a destruction coming, an end of all things, that is going to be border to border and coast to coast, horizon to horizon. And it's going to be horrific. And if and when that time comes, sometimes it looks like the temple being torn down. Sometimes it looks like the Twin Towers coming down. These things point to a day when all things will come down.
Yes. Again.
Now pay attention today, because Pastor Tom Handrick is going to take these remaining minutes to explain to you why that is so vitally important.
It's vitally important because as Jesus used it, as the prophets of the Old Testament used it, as the apostles used it, the evangelists, and as proper preachers today use it, it's all important to get our attention so that then we can be told about the rescue from all of this. See, that's what our real concern is. How am I going to survive it? How am I going to get through it? And the only substantive rescue is Jesus Christ. folks listening in on the radio today, please, I implore you, search out and learn about Jesus Christ. He is the answer. His life, His suffering, His death, His resurrection, His ascension back to heaven, from which He will return to judge the living and the dead, give us the absolute answer that resolves our concern, our fears, our heartaches, our troubles over the destruction that is going to occur.
Now, we have the destruction of this magnificent building described here in glowing terms by observers of the first century temple. We have fresh in our memories, just about all of us, I can't imagine somebody who doesn't, fresh in our memories what it looked like, what it felt like to watch those huge towers in New York come down. Can we personalize those events? Can I personalize it to this house that I dwell in?
Well, you've got it, Chuck. What more can I say? You're right. Our human bodies are temporary dwellings that will die, assuming that Christ doesn't come before. We will experience pain, injury, sickness, you know, the big scare of the flu epidemic right now that's sweeping across our nation. It's a real thing. But it's one of those signs, once again, that God points our attention to remind us of the temporal nature of what His creation is due to its sin-wreckedness.
But on the day of death, for you and me, no stone remains upon another.
No stone remains on another, but we have the Rock of Ages who cleft for us.
Well, we hope there are people listening to us that they all have that.
But and
there
that's are some what who we encourage. Not. That's but we continue to declare it, to proclaim it, to encourage it. We don't ask, do you know Jesus? But rather we say, know Jesus. We don't ask, are you saved? But rather we say, here is salvation in Jesus Christ. We spend too much time, we waste too much time asking these questions, trying to draw people into our web, instead of declaring and proclaiming the truth to them and trusting the Holy Spirit to do His work with the proclaimed, declared message of bringing people into saving faith through the gospel.
You know, I'm starting to get nervous. I think you're going to come in here one of these days and really get worked up. I don't know what we're going to do when that happens. Pastor Tom Henrich, whatever your energy charge is, I wish I could find some of it. I think I could use some of that. God bless you, sir, and thank you for making the trip.
This privilege. Again, folks, call in AM 850 KFUO Radio. You'll hear the phone numbers in just a minute, and support this vital gospel outreach.
Listen to Chuck Rather and guests Monday through Friday at the same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the internet at kfuo.org. For a free copy of The Bible Study, please visit the audio archive section of our homepage. That's kfuo.org. The Bible Study is a broadcast service of Worldwide KFUO.